In the name that's above every name. And God, we ask that, Lord, that you'd be with us here today. God, that you would do a work within our heart, our mind. God, we open up our heart. Lord, that you would speak to it. And God, that you can renew it. And Lord, that you can just renew our lives, God. Just anoint, Lord, each and every one individually as your word would be poured into their hearts. And God, we know that good things come from above. And that's where we're looking. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we start, you know, into some word, I just really want to encourage, you know, I guess, you know, just talking with different people and doing different things that I am really tired of the modern day preacher that is not willing to ever really stand and ruffle anybody's feathers. When sin has destroyed the world, if we don't make a stand, it's like a game we're playing. We're just, you know, one of the ones put on there this morning. We are the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the world. And I thought, man, you know, it is the truth. And, you know, so today, I'm not going to get into it really far, but Elon Musk, he has to be one of the smartest individuals in the world today alive. And I know that he's no great Christian, by no means. And at the same time, you know, he's made some comments that are really important. He's one of the richest men in the world, and yet he's come against some of the richest men in the world, Soros, Bill Gates, openly. And so they're interviewing him on TV, and they're saying, aren't you afraid to make the kind of stance that you're making now that if he doesn't get elected, that you're going to be in trouble? And he said this. He said, I'm not worried. Because he said, if he doesn't, this is the last election that you will ever know. Because there's a one world government that's trying to come into play. Now, we know that there's going to be a day where the one world government does come into play, but at the same time, we need a little bit of time. We're really praying and hoping. And so, you know, you got people like Trump, and everybody understands he's obnoxious, and yet, you know, so were some of the ones in the Bible that God used, because he's trying to win a victory for God's people, and he'll use the unjust sometimes. And you know the thing about it is it is 100% policy. And you can say that almost 100% of the Democratic Party is demonic policy. It is against God. And even, you know, one of the things that, you know, people say, well, how can you trust Trump? I'll tell you what, if you really look just a little bit, I don't trust him, I trust God. And what he's done is even, you know, he's made some open things in saying, if I get elected, this is my policy. And one of the policies in there is that he's going to create another whole wing that is going to protect Christian rights and values. Now, he's not any great Christian, but he realizes that the one enemy for everybody in this world, in the world, not in Christianity, is God. They're trying to tear God away from, and that's what the enemy is. And so, you know, be wise in these days. We got a couple of days. Be praying, be encouraging. You know, and if anything different would happen, buckle up. We're going to enjoy a good ride. God is going to do what he's going to do. It's all the will of the Lord. We understand that. But, you know, it is a time to do what we're supposed to do and not just sit back and wait. God has chosen us to be hands, feet, mouth, and eyes. And I don't know. I see a lot of things that, you know, my dad spent 4 years in World War II. My brother, Silver Star in Vietnam, we spent our time, and I can honestly say that this country is almost everything against everything I believe and lived for and fought for. And so it is time not to just sit on the sidelines and let it go totally to the toilet if we can do anything about it. Amen? But we're going to see Jesus come any which way. I don't know. I believe that I'm 74, but I believe I'm going to see Jesus come. Amen? And so, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, come. And with that, you know, like I said, that's free. We're going to try to go through some things a little quick. But, you know, we shared a word, you know, that we shared about an engine, and we shared about gasoline. And, you know, one of the things that I believe that is really important is, you know, the Bible talks about the keys to life. And, you know, one of the things, what you got to do with the key is you got to either unlock something or, really what we want to do is we want to start our engines for God. We want to start up our lives for God. We got to, you know, the world is sucking so much time away that we're forgetting that the things of God are eternal and they bring eternal rewards. And so it's really kind of good that we can get into this place where he wants it. And the only way to actually start those engines is to believe. We got to believe. That's what God says. He wants us to believe. And I want to read a couple of quotes, but, you know, definitely from people that are not men of God. Napoleon Bonaparte, he said, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Not a Christian. But he come up with this after seeing everything that has taken place. He says, Jesus Christ is no mere man." And then you got, you know, Norval H.G. Wells that said this, "I'm a historian. I'm not a believer. But this penniless preacher from Galilee is irresistibly, of the center of history. Even people who have not described him as followers of this penniless preacher recognize that there is something extraordinary about Jesus. Time has been set by Jesus." You understand that, you know, it's not just some fabricated thing that Christians have made up. It's a reality. This Jesus is exactly who's coming back for us. He's the one that made a way. He's the one that can help us. You know, we think about things that, you know, we need to look towards him. And so, in Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to read some scriptures to you today kind of quickly. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says this, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days..." Whose days are they? "He has spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed as heir of all things, through whom he has made the world, and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they." Now, you know, God did this. Unbelievers that are way up there in the so-called world that people look to realize that Jesus isn't just some ordinary man. And as we get there, you know, God, see, that's because God made him even higher than the angels. You know, the Bible talks about how angels are here to help the saints, you know, to minister even to us. That's something that's real. But Jesus is higher. All these things came into being through him. And so we begin to look into the scriptures just a little bit. You know, this Jesus, you know, he came not only to serve and to save, but he came to bring us eternal life, you know. It's just amazing how, you know, the things that he promises are so much better. We think about some of these old covenants, and I want to read a little bit more, but, you know, he went on to talk about a new covenant that's superior to the old one. You know, when God brought him out of Egypt, he done these different things. He promised way back when. We read the Old Testament. If you haven't read it, please do read it and get to understand it a little bit, because You realize that Jesus fulfilled all these things. And when you do read it and you go back and read it again, then you have to read it through the lens of Jesus Christ to understand it and really interpret it to make it be good. But they all prophesy. They all talk about Christ. They all talk about this new covenant to come. And so we look at Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 8. But it says this: "For finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.'" Now, he says this because the old covenant, people weren't making it. They weren't able to keep the laws. They weren't able to do these things in the natural. And so he didn't find fault with the covenant. He found fault with the people right from the very beginning in the garden. We understand the fallen nature. And it says in verse 9, "Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone, fellow citizen, that everyone his brother shall says, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest." Now, this is Hebrews. This is New Testament. This is some of the other writers that have actually, you know, they've been there. They've seen all these things, but they're talking about the old covenant. And I want to read that old covenant too in Jeremiah, so that we realize that Christ has fulfilled these things. In Jeremiah 31:31, it says this: "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Now, how many know that spiritually that's who we are? That God grafted us in because of, and God sent Paul and these out to the so-called Gentiles. I'm not, you know, even though I got a little, maybe a little finger of Jewish in me, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile, saved by the grace of God. I've been grafted in. I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God, whatever it is. And so when they're talking to Israel, they're talking to us. We're part of that house. We're part of that household. We've been grafted in. That's what the Word of God says. And so it says, "Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this covenant, which I will make with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws within them. And on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities and their sins, and I will remember them no more." Now, the new covenant, we need to get into it a little bit, because when you talk about the blood of Jesus, we got to understand what it is and what to do with it. I'll tell you, the blood of Christ, you know, if it's left out there or just drank in a cup, if it's not applied, it isn't going to work. So we got some of these coming up in the future, just a little bit to encourage you, but this is the new covenant. You see, what we could not do in the flesh, weak as it is, and I understand that, and I think everybody here does, God did, sending his son. You know, God did it for us. And then what he does is he says that I'll give you the helper, the Holy Spirit. This is what's going to make a difference within your life. This is the new covenant. I'm going to write something on your heart and in your mind that, you know, when you begin to go out there, this is going to begin to guide you. It's going to begin to convict you. It's going to begin to be this, which, you know, it's this new covenant. And so, you know, we see that these things were all foretold and promised in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ ever came. So is it some strange thing? Or no, it was from the beginning of time. This is the way that it's supposed to go. It's happening. It's here today. Now you and I have an opportunity to what? Start the engine and begin to believe what God has to say. This Jesus is no ordinary man. He made a new covenant, and that covenant he wants to make with each and every one of us. And so as we begin to realize these things, we begin to take a little more consideration into the things that are happening. And so what, you know, as I begin to look at this a little bit more, you know, the promises there that, you know, God said that he would put these promises, he would implant them in our heart. I'll tell you what, if they're not implanted in your heart, when things begin to happen, you're not going to respond in the right way. How many know that, you know, it's just like we had a friend that, you know, he had a heart attack. Good man of God. He was one of the ones that really helped me in the very beginning of being saved. Hard working guy, had his own construction business, ran a church. He's pastor in the church and had a massive heart attack right in the hotel across the street from a hospital. And they got him to the hospital. They began to do some things. You know, the police brought him to the hospital. And they're trying to call people to get permission to work on them. And there wasn't anybody they could contact. And so finally the policeman just yelled at them, get busy and work on them now. And you know, he had lost, I forget the percentage of his heart, but it was more than half his heart he lost. So it was like 80% of his heart. And you know, the people come to the hospital that were in the church, and they come to the hospital, you know, it's way away, it's a couple hundred miles away from his house, and they begin to talk to him just a little bit, and he said, I'm ready to go to be with Jesus. He said, I'm ready. And everybody in that room, they just said, we're not ready to have you go. We love you. And I want to tell you something, that love of Jesus came into him and raised him up, and I tell you, within about 4 or 5 weeks, he was actually out working again. You know, I don't know about you, but this Jesus is no ordinary man. This covenant that he made with us is just, it's mind-blowing. You have to believe God because it's just not there. You know, it's just not there. He's so far above our ways. He's so far above our thoughts. And what he says is, he says, believe. And so he has to write it there. In other words, I just don't respond because, you know, I get in a little bit of trouble. I get discouraged. I get depressed. And I begin to, you know, if it isn't written, then I don't feel, you know, it doesn't happen. And so we begin to look at some of these things that it doesn't, you know, I want to read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Chapter 6, and we're gonna start in verse 6. It says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. How many know that Sunday school isn't the place where your kid's supposed to learn everything? You shall bind them on the signs of your hand, and you shall be frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, it's really important that, see, you know, the laws of God aren't something that are just by memory or by some picture in your house. You can have all kinds of pictures in your house, and yet you can still continually fall into all kinds of depression and fear and, you know, just unbelief and unrest and you name it. You can just fall into all of it. You can have every kind of thing sitting on your doorpost. We got things on our deck. My wife will write things on there. It's nice to be encouraged and remember. But it's not something by memory anymore. You see, when we look at it, you know, as we look into those scriptures in that Hebrews 8 and 10, what does it say? Put up Hebrews 8 and 10. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, You see, it's not just something on a picture in the wall or anything else. It's something that we let God write on our heart. You understand? I mean, here we got somebody ready to make, you know, I'm ready to go to be with Jesus. And they say, well, we're not. We're not ready. I don't believe it's time for you to go. I believe there's still some usefulness in your life. I believe right now there isn't anybody that's going to do what you can do. So get up in the name of Jesus. That's exactly, you know, what God, you see, when God begins to write in the heart, it's no more something that's just a memory. It's a reality. God put it there. We got to let God write on our heart. We got to give God permission to write on our heart and on our mind. We got to begin to look at these things that are from God. And then, you know, I don't know about you, but in Psalms 51, verses 10, 11, and 12, what does it say there? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Not just, you know, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I wear a cross. You know, everybody nowadays wearing crosses. You know, I tell you what. You know, my sister along back there in the park, and we're out there witnessing and doing these things, and brings this person over there. Here's a Christian. He's wearing a cross. And I look at the person. I go, wow, they're far from being a Christian, you know. We got to lead them to the Lord, though. At least she got them there, you know. But just because they had this cross on their neck didn't make anything. It's what's in the heart. It's what we let God write in our heart and in our mind. You understand? That's what makes the difference. That's where the new covenant is, where he's going to be our God. And we're going to be his people. I don't know about you. That excites me. I just, you know, I mean, we're in those times where if God didn't write something on our heart, we're not going to do very good in this time that we live in. And yet at the same time, if we follow what God has written in our heart, there's going to be no difficulty that you cannot handle and walk through and be able to pass on to others. God wants us to be able to have an ability to minister life in the midst of whatever happens and whatever's going on. And so what I see there, it's a picture. You know, it says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Wow. I don't know about you, but you know, we see that God is going to be able to put a right spirit in us, not a wrong one. You see, I don't know about you. Sometimes there's times where my spirit ain't right. And if God didn't do some writing, and if I ain't willing to let him do some things right then and there, you see, I'm going to respond in a negative way to when I need to put in something positive. How many know you keep putting in negative, what are you going to get? When you put in positive, what do you get? You know, see, it's, you know, God made positive and negative for a reason, so that we can understand, you know. And you know, sometimes, well, you know, woe is me. Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes woe is me is because we keep on putting in so much negative that we don't get the plans to see the positive. Let's start putting in positive, whether it's a tongue, a creative force, whatever it is. Let's start doing some of these things that the new covenant wants us to do. And so, you know, it also says, cast me not away from your presence and don't take the Holy Spirit from me. You know, and what he says is, you know, I won't do that. Just don't quench the Spirit. God ain't going to take the Holy Spirit away from us. He, you know, what he says is just don't quench it, because it's really a good guide. It's really a good power. It's really something that can bring this renewed life. And so we see something that, you know, as we begin to get into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we all know this one. Verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. God wants us to be a new creature. He created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. God wants this from the very beginning of time. That's what the Creator, that's what the new covenant is all about letting old things pass away. Now, I want to again read to you in Galatians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 18. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. I'll tell you, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more again, but I want to tell you, sometimes people keep trying to make some things like they were in the past. There was a little time where they kind of thought, well, things were okay. I want to try to be like it is in the past. I want to tell you, the past is past. And what God wants you to know is that it's gone. Past is gone. And he wants you to do this. He wants you just to be new. New. You know what new is? I tell you what, you sit in a new car and you smell a new car. You ever sit in a new car? Some people never sat in a new car. You sit in that new car, you got a new car smell. I mean, it just feels different. It looks different. God wants it to be new. And some people are afraid of the new life because they don't know where it's going to go. Just don't worry about what's up ahead. God will have all the warning signs you need on that road. That is a road. I want to tell you something. He wants, you know, he wants that to be a really neat place to be. And he wants you to be on that road. And so, you know, it's important. I want to read the other couple of scriptures there. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now, you know, right about the time you're ready to tell your wife, now, you know what I'm saying? That negative ain't going to bring anything positive. If you can shut it for a minute and create something different, it'll be a good thing for you and for everybody. You know, I tell you what, it's really hard. You know, God has to, you have to let God write these things in your heart because they just ain't there. I don't know about you. You know, my nature was a rebellious nature from the very beginning. And I was quick to anger and quick to speak, you know, and so God has to do a changing. And so I've been crucified with Christ. And no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so we realize that this Jesus is no ordinary man. He is trying to do something in our life that this new covenant comes into a place where you're going to like what happens. You might not know because you can't see by faith into the future, but your future will be secured in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's new. I'll tell you what, I couldn't believe what God did to my dad. Big drunk that I hated his guts. And I would tell stories in the church. I mean, my dad, he got saved, and he turned into a really neat guy. He helped in the ministry, went to Bible school with me. And I would tell stories once in a while from the pulpit. Sometimes I guess I beat up on people. I don't know. But I'd tell stories, you know. And I mean, the people in the church would get up and say, oh, your dad never did that. Well, you call me a liar? I mean, they just call the preacher a liar, man, because they're looking, because he's new. They couldn't see that. I mean, how could he ever have done that? He's one of the nicest guys I've ever seen. He wasn't. I couldn't even bring friends to the house. He'd swear so bad. He had words you didn't even know, for God's sake. Embarrassed. And so, you know, what God can do, we got to let this new covenant be what it's supposed to be and bring in new life. Bring in new life into our lives. Now, it's important that, and you know, we talked about being new. That new life is definitely, it'll be able to be a lot better than the old life. You don't want to try to rebuild the old life. Just go out and work on building a new life. And then, you know, you think about it. How many drive cars? How many really enjoy it, especially in this day we live in when the roads are just, you know, they haven't put any tax dollars back into the roads. When you finally hit up on a new road, brand new surface, all marked out, man, it's so nice, it's so smooth. You're not hitting potholes, having to swerve around things. I mean, you know, that new road, see, that's what God wants. He talks about a highway of holiness. He talks about no unclean things going to get on that road. That's where he wants us to be, where we can't be attacked by all these crazy things that go on that we have no control over. And, you know, the other thing is, probably not too many. How many have driven a new car? Yeah, boy, I tell you what, driving a new car is fun, even if it's someone else's, you know, without the payments. But, you know, that's the kind of things that God wants us to remember. Man, remember that new... See, the things in life begin to tell us stories. Wherever you go, it begins to tell you, sir, that new road, that new car, that new life, that new things that I want to do within you, you know. And so, you know, it's important that, you know, the Bible talks about God's love and how, you know, he wants us to love with a pure heart. You know, not something that's all mixed up. And, you know, and so in order to have a pure heart, you know, I kind of did a little bit of research, did a couple little things. But, you know, when you start to Google, once in a while, Google has some good information. When you Google, you know, a pure heart, you're gonna find it's gonna come up with stuff like undivided loyalty to God. Ooh, that's heavy. And if God can begin to write some of these things, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, it can save me a lot of trouble wherever I go, wherever I am, wherever my feet hit. And so, you know, what it also talks about is loving him above all else. You know, the Bible talks about that, putting Jesus in the first place. It's not just an ordinary thing. It's something that God requires, that God made Jesus first in everything. And as we begin to do those things, then life begins, you know, it's really important. Like I said, the scriptures are very clear. They've been from the very beginning. Nothing is contradicting one another, but it begins to talk about Jesus. And then, you know, we see that kind of love that comes from a pure heart, it transforms by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, God's Spirit begins to work. And we have kind of a God kind of a love. I don't know about you, but you know, we've been able to help a lot of people that I really can't stand in the natural. And then once, I'm sorry, you know, but then once God begins to deal with them and once they begin to get a hold of it, they're not the same old character anymore. They suddenly become valuable and they suddenly become a friend and they suddenly become helpful. And all these things begin to take place because God turned them into something new. So, you know, the love of God, when the love of God begins to move as it's supposed to move, wow, wow. I don't know about you, I enjoy seeing the things that God is doing very much so. Now, it overflows, God's love overflows in every area of our life, you know, and that really includes with relations with other people. I don't care whether it's at work. You know, a lot of people struggle at work because they just can't stand it. They got a bunch of characters. And God wants us to begin to realize that if we'll come in there in a new way, an anointed way, that we can change some things. We can change some things. At least they'll stop. I've found that at least if they don't change completely, they'll stop bugging you. They'll start bugging somebody else. And, you know, that you know, not that you want them to bug someone else, but it does help. You know, it does help. And so God, you know, he says he can even make our enemies be at peace with us. And so including those relationships with other people, you know, the love of God, you know, it you know, from a pure heart is important. We got to love God with a pure heart. I want to read a few scriptures to you that make a lot of sense. But Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. Now, who may ascend? Who can get into this place where God says, I'm going to use you? I'm going to stand behind what you do. You see, but you know, God wants us to work on cleaning up some things in our life. Maybe in our speech, maybe in our things. Is, you know, we're not going to be perfect day one. But God wants us to press on. He wants us to begin to do some things that make a difference. That's why these scriptures are there. And so, you know, who can? The one who has clean hands and pure heart. Who doesn't lift up a soul to falsehood. Now, I'll tell you what. How many people are going to be voting against all conscience of Christ, of everything that God stands against? And they say, I'm a Christian. I know all kinds of them. We got relatives. They go to church every Sunday. And they just believe that Trump is a jerk. And so you're going to put perverts in there that want to take away your right to even be a Christian? That doesn't even sound like a fair exchange, even if both of them are kind of characters. But God wants us to love. I tell you what, you know, all of them have the ability to get saved. Rather than condemn them, I'd rather see them get saved, every one of them. That's what God wants us to do. Psalm 73 and 1. Sure, God is good to the to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. What is God good to? Those who are pure in heart. How can you get a pure heart if you don't let God write on it? How can you have a pure mind, pure thoughts, if you don't let God get in? You understand? See, the first covenant was no good. They couldn't do it. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't do it. How can we do it if we don't let God do it? You understand? If we don't take this Jesus and do what they say with Jesus, how can we possibly come to this place where we can have a pure heart? You know, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. We understand that, but you still have to be willing to give permission, even if you don't have the ability in yourself. You got to give God permission. You got to recognize the help is needed. You got to recognize the things that are destructive. You got to begin to do some of these things. And it says in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. I tell you what, you know, we need to get in some more teaching about the heart, because sometimes, you know, I tell you what, you ever see somebody that wants to do the right thing and cannot do it because sin indwells? And yet what did Jesus come to do? To destroy the power of sin and Satan. And so the blood of Christ is something that a sinner needs to acknowledge, that I'm in sin and I don't want to and it's wrong. Jesus, help me, forgive me. I'll tell you what, that's what I did. And suddenly I'm destroying all the drugs, I'm burying all these crazy albums, I'm throwing away the Playboys, all these things. You know, God is just starting to set me free into a new life. I didn't need that old life. That old life was destructive. And so God began to put you into this new place. But blessed are the pure in heart. You got to let God write in your heart. If you can't, it'll never be pure. If you think you know better than God, you are in trouble. Serious trouble. And so, you know, it's a crying out to God. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 5. You got that? But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. You know, we could get into a whole teaching. We've done it before about the conscience. Conscience, I believe, is something that God gave. And you can sear your conscience. But, you know, God wants to cleanse our conscience. You understand? You see, sometimes the devil likes to use our conscience against us in a wrong way. And so God's got to do a little rewriting. You're no longer held. I know you keep bringing up this, what you did, but I don't remember it anymore. I was a jerk. I even stole from my friends sometime, you know. I'd shortchange them. You know, I tell you what, God has to do some rewriting in our life. God has to do some of these things, and he has to clean our conscience. You know, that was the old Harley. And I want him to die daily And I want him to stay dead. Because if he raises up, he's a jerk. Straight out. And so, you know, it's important that we let that old life go. Let it go away. 2 Timothy 2 and 22. Now flee youthful lusts or youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Well, I don't need to go to church. Really? You're a self-made man? That's impossible. I'll tell you what, I need people to let me know when I'm not doing right. I need people to remind me what a good way is. I need that because sometimes we just don't spend enough time pursuing righteousness, living in faith and love and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord. You know, how many know that one of the worst things the enemy likes to do is he likes to get you to be all by yourself so you can talk to yourself and try to help yourself and, you know, self-help books. Like Elon said, you just need to get out and do it. They ain't going to help you unless you do it. So God wants to bless us. It talks about pursuing. Now, God wants us to pursue. In other words, when we talk about this new life and this new road and whatever else we've been talking about, he wants us to just go down that new road without the worries of what's ahead. How many know that God says, I have your welfare in mind? It's for welfare, you know, not for calamity. That's what he said. You know, and so God knows what's up ahead. None of us know what's up ahead. And so God, he doesn't want us to worry about that. And he honestly says this. He says, I'm gonna let you know what's to come. I'm going to give you enough warnings. I'm going to do enough things to you where you're going to know and you're going to be able to make some decisions. Hebrews 10 and 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Wow. You know, sometimes you need to forget what that old person was. Even some of the things that you thought were okay, just let it all go, you know, and just get into the things that God is trying to do. He wants us to draw near, and the only way we can draw near is with a pure heart, with a true heart, and in full assurance, God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Despite who I am, God is going to do it. Because it doesn't, you know, it isn't up to me. God just wants me here where he can work on it. Go ahead, God. You're the only one that can change this thing. You're the only one that can make a difference. You're the only one that can help this person. You're the only one that can do a miracle. And so he says, love with a pure heart. Wow, I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of things that we can continue to do. We need to learn to be doers, more doers. More doers of the word of God rather than just trying to make our flesh comfortable. We spend too much time in all that. And it says, you know, washed, our bodies washed in the pure water of the Word of God. If you're not spending time in the Bible, if you're not spending time in God's Word, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of crud still in there. I mean, it needs a good cleansing, you know what I mean? And so you got to spend some of that time with the Lord and with the saints of God and doing some of these other things. 1 Peter 1:22, there's three 22s right in a row. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls from a sincere love of the brethren, how can you do that in your house every day? How can you do that online church? I can send them a check. I can get on Tithely. God wants more than that. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your mouth. And he says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls with a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now, I won't get into this one either, but, you know, like we said, we've had people all the time coming, and I know that people need to be directed, and they say, well, you know, what do you want me to do? I'll tell you, you know, if they would just Google the scriptures one another, read them scriptures, and do what those scriptures, just those scriptures say, you'll never ask me for what I should do. Comfort one another, love one another, pray for one another, help one another, feed one another, encourage one another. I'm telling you, it just goes on. You know, I got to give you a specific job, you know. No, God wants you to begin to allow God to do some things in your life, and you're going to begin to find a place. You know, there are so many people that feel like they're useless. Just Google one another, scriptures on one another. Go home, read them, and then do like Elon says. Just do it. Just go do it. And you're going to find that love of God is just going to begin to draw you and purify you and cleanse you. You know, it says in James 4 and 8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I don't know about you. Purify your hearts. And you know, it talks about how he wants to write in our heart and in our mind. You know, purify our hearts, you double-minded. Wow. You know, so many times you try to tell somebody, you know, they're telling you the things that they're going through and the problems and they're complaining and, you know, just struggling. And everybody knows we all have struggles. But if all you're going to do is just continue to complain, you're not doing what God says. And you tell them whatever's lovely, whatever's good, whatever's, you know, think on these. Oh, you always keep telling me that. Well, do it. That's what helps me. That gets me out of the gutter. That gets me into a place where I know that God is going to do something. And so, you know, they say you sound like a broken record, you know, just think of these things. Well, really? That's what God wants us to do. Cleanse our heart and our mind, our double-mindedness. You know, see, the scriptures are really good. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wow. And what does it say? No man can come unto the Father but through him. Jesus isn't some ordinary, even prophet. Jesus is the one with the new covenant. Covenant of blood. Only the blood of Jesus can forgive sins. Only the blood of Jesus can begin to do a work as we begin to apply it. And he is the truth. There is no other truth. And he is life. And I don't know about you, if you want that not bumpy road, he's the way. Like I said, he's that highway of holiness. No unclean thing comes on it. And so, you know, I don't know about you, we need to spend more time thinking about what God wants to do through his word in our heart according to this new covenant that he wants to take us into a new relationship, into a new place. We got to stop trying to build something and let God begin to do it. We got to begin to trust the Lord. We got to begin to take steps of faith. And when we see that our steps are having a little struggle, we got to let God do a little washing and purifying and changing. You know, I don't know about you. I can be critical. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. People in church can be critical. You know, and being critical don't help. Being a lover helps. You understand? Being that one that'll stand in the gap helps. Being that one that'll bring in the right word that can bring division, those divided together, you know. And so, God, help us to walk in a new covenant. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, when you think about it and even get just a little glimpse of it, doesn't that sound like a place we all want to be and live, huh? You know, where God's Spirit is just moving and the only thing that makes any difference is what Jesus is doing. Because he's not an ordinary man. He's God. He's our God. And then what does he say when we really get it? And you're priests, ambassadors. Wow. Yeah. You don't want to go to another place and be the wrong example. You want to be that one. Let God wash our hearts. Amen. Lord, wash our hearts, wash our minds. Help us to have a true, real relationship with Jesus. Help us to let the Holy Spirit anoint our hearts and our minds. We give you permission to write and change whatever needs to be changed to the glory of God. And Lord, we just thank you and trust you for our nation. And Lord, we pray that others would come out and stand in the gap tonight and pray, God, not only for our nation, but for those who are struggling and hurting and need healing and need salvation and just need whatever. God, we want to stand in the gap in Jesus' name. Amen. So you're free. If anybody needs prayer, don't run away. We'll pray for you. If you want to grab somebody by you, have them pray for you. I'm sure they can pray just as good as anybody else because we all have that Jesus, don't we? Amen.